This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Demonstrations of the anger in the African-American community over their treatment by law enforcement has come to Charlotte. In the wake of a Charlotte-Mecklenburg police officer fatally shooting Keith Lamont Scott on Tuesday, the city has experienced 2 days of protest, both of which began peacefully, but which became increasingly violent. Last night, those protests spread to uptown Charlotte, and there was another shooting. This time, one civilian shot another. The victim remains on life support. Let's stress that most of the protesters were peaceful, but those that were not threw bottles of water, trash cans at police, and through the windows of businesses at the Epicenter and the Hyatt Hotel. The NASCAR Hall of Fame and an adjoining restaurant were damaged, and looters took merchandise from the Time Warner Cable Arena. City officials urged calm and promised a full investigation into the shooting that sparked these protests, but in the interim, Governor McCrory has declared a state of emergency and made Highway Patrol and National Guard troops available here to keep the peace. Mayor Jennifer Roberts took the lead yesterday during a press conference with Kerr Putney, the chief of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police, and Willie Ratchford, head of the city's Community Relations Committee. Mayor Roberts joins us now for the first part of the program in our Spirit Square studio. Good morning and welcome. Have you slept yet?
Good morning. I think about a couple hours.
State of emergency was declared at the request. A city has to request a state of emergency to be declared, so we asked that. I think the chief of police asked for that of the governor, and he said yes last night at about 11:15. What does that mean to the city of Charlotte, state of emergency?
A state of emergency gives us more tools as we continue to work with our community to keep the peace, to keep our citizens safe, to keep our property safe. And it gives us tools, it gives us access to the National Guard, it gives us the option of a curfew. That still needs to be discussed. There's a process in place with our first responders and our resources to talk about whether or not that's needed. So those are some of the things that we'll have as tools and to be discussed as the day continues.
So the National Guard is now available to you. Will they necessarily be deployed, or is that something that you'll call as the need arises?
Well, we're focusing on this evening, and we are about to have conversations with our police chief, our fire chief, our medic personnel, and the state personnel to talk about what that would look like, what that plan would look like, what would trigger that, how it would be deployed.
You had a news conference yesterday at about 9:30 with the chief of police and Willie Ratchford. There's going to be another one this morning at 10:30 with the three of you. Last night, however, as I was watching coverage on CNN and other locations, we didn't hear from the chief of police, and we didn't hear from you. I heard from you in the afternoon. Should you have been able to be, or would it have been valuable, do you think, for you to appear on television and on radio during the height of these protests?
Well, I had numerous interviews last night throughout the evening, mostly by radio or by voice on television. So I actually was very present in the media, working very hard to get the message out to the public and to reinforce the need for calm, to reinforce the fact that the family, the Scott family, has asked for peaceful protests.
Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, was commenting on this on Fox News last night. On this situation, and he was critical of you, and he was critical of Governor McCrory, because he said this would never have happened in his city because he wouldn't have permitted it, that you can peacefully protest, but when you throw a rock or a bottle at a police officer or you throw it through a window, that's it, you're done, you're out of here. And he said, I have 41,000 police officers at my disposal, and it would never have happened in my city. What would you say to that?
I would say that each city is unique and that each city has a different history, has different resources, has different approaches, and that one size does not fit all, and that it is pretty presumptuous of somebody from a different city with a different culture, background, and collaborative spirit to be making judgments. I would not make a judgment on another city like that. I think that you need to walk in someone's shoes. And look, our community has a tradition of collaboration. We work together. There were faith leaders last night in the middle of the crowd, linking arms, providing a buffer between the police and the protesters. That's the kind of community that Charlotte is. We're the kind of community that steps up and says, we are not this, that we have a long tradition of collaboration. Our community policing has actually been a model for other areas of the country.
If you watched this on television last night, there, what you're talking about was readily apparent. Right in front of the line of police officers near the transportation center, there were guys in white shirts keeping the crowd back, and they were not police officers. I guess they were the people you were talking about, the faith community.
There were faith community. There were people from our uptown area who were just concerned citizens. There were quite a few folks trying to say, we need to keep this peaceful, that violence is not the way forward. It's not who we are. It's not going to help advance our concerns.
Do you have crowd estimates on the size of the crowd last night at the height of the protests? Do you have any idea how many?
The estimates are, from what I've heard, 500 to 600 folks.
How many police officers were deployed last night?
Between 200 and 300. And again, some of that was fluid. It was fluid in terms of the number of people, because I'm not sure that all those 500 were in one place at the same time. There was a lot of movement. There was movement from Marshall Park to the uptown, to the transit center, in many different locations. And I think that, you know, those are probably the best estimates we have right now.
The police were very careful last night, I thought, just watching from the helicopter shots that I was seeing from the various television stations and the ground level shots that we were seeing when they were able to safely be on the ground. The police did not really do very much, and there were broken windows and fires being set in the street and on the sidewalk, and we know of damage and some looting last night around the Epicenter area and the Time Warner Cable Arena. Why didn't they stop that? Why didn't the police move in to quell that kind of activity?
Well, there's a strategy for trying to keep the peace, trying to protect citizens as well as property in a way that is also safe for the officers. And that was part of the strategy used. I think that one of the reasons we're looking at additional resources is that might free up some of the police officers to actually make arrests. We do want to hold people accountable. People who are breaking the law need to be held accountable. And we know that there were acts of violence, that there were acts of destruction of property that will not go unnoticed, and that we will follow up on once we have more resources.
This is all happening because of the shooting of the African-American man by an African-American police officer in the university area on Tuesday. And you told CNN yesterday, as I watched you on CNN yesterday afternoon, that you want transparency. You told them that the police have been or will be showing you the video. Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it yet.
Why not?
We have a process in place.
You're the mayor.
We are respecting the wishes of the family. Remember, this is a tragedy for the family, and the chief has elected to show them the video first and then begin to show myself and other community leaders.
Does that make sense?
The video.
We have riots in the streets. Does that make sense to A, not let you see the video before the family sees the video, and to not let us see the video? Because if the video demonstrates what the police say actually happened, which differs from a lot of people on the scene, if that video demonstrates the police are telling the truth, wouldn't that stop all of this?
Well, that's something we don't know about when you say if, because we know there are different angles. We know that there can be grainy, some of these videos. We don't know about the distance involved. And so since I haven't seen it, I can't really make an opinion about that.
That's my point, Mayor. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you can't talk about it, and you can't stand behind the police chief necessarily.
Even after I have seen it, I can't talk about it, because we have an ongoing investigation. And our policy is, when you have an ongoing investigation, you don't release evidence in dribs and drabs. You want everything to have a complete picture before you release that to the public, so that we don't have an incomplete picture of what might be the truth.
Other cities where this violence has taken place in the wake of these shootings, and I think it was Tulsa, and I think this was yesterday on one of the cable news stations, that they were talking about the violence in Charlotte versus the violence in their city, and they say that they didn't have the same violence because they released the dash cam and body cam video to the media and to the public. What's wrong with that?
Every case is different. Since I'm talking about a hypothetical and something I haven't seen, I can't give you an answer as to why the process right now and the police the police chief's discretion as to how that will be released. I can't give you an answer to something I haven't seen. I'm hoping to be able to see that today. Again, because it's an active investigation.
You know what that sounds like? Hoping to be able to see the video today? You're the mayor. Do you know what that sounds like?
Remember, we have a council manager form of government. We have state personnel involved. We have a protocol for emergency response, and I'm also respecting that.
Okay, but you're the focal point. You're the key person here. You're the one that the cameras point at when the violence breaks out. Is that fair to you, as somebody who has to stand in front of these cameras nationally and talk about this, if you can't see the video?
Well, I tell you what, Mike, you don't always have things that you would like to have when you're dealing with a crisis. And again, until we have a complete picture, we're still interviewing witnesses to what happened.
Should we change the process?
Those are things that we'll be discussing. You know, this is a fluid situation. We have the community leaders involved who are also very interested in having suggestions about a better process going forward. Absolutely, we can discuss those, but I can tell you our chief is well respected. He's respected in the force. He's respected. I've heard from other mayors in other cities who have officers who worked for him, worked with him, and, you know, there's a lot of respect there. I have to take that into account as well.
So in the interim, what does transparency mean?
In the interim, transparency is continuing to present to the public facts as we know them, to give them an update on the current situation, on our approach to how we're going to continue to keep peace in our city, our request to keep that peace. And as soon as we have a complete picture of the investigation, to make that available.
This shooting is not an isolated incident around the country. It's not even isolated in Charlotte. Is there something systemically wrong with law enforcement and their relationship with the African-American community and vice versa?
Mike, we know we have a history. We know we have a history of racial divide, not just in Charlotte, in our country as a whole. We know that we have challenges. We know that people need to work together across differences better than we have done. And we are committed in this community to confronting that challenge. We are committed to acknowledging that it is not equal, that not every single neighborhood in our city has access to good education, to good job prospects with benefits. Not every racial group has the same access, has the same pay. Women still aren't paid equal to men. We know that there are still inequalities. I'm committed to working very hard to decrease those and to remove those disparities.
We have 30 seconds left. Do you know how many times Mr. Scott was shot by police?
I have not seen the full report yet.
Really?
I tell you, Mike, we are hearing different things from the community and from there. Again, we want to make sure this investigation has the highest integrity. I am not going to give out information until I am absolutely sure that it is the correct information. I've heard from people who were in the crowd and heard from people in the community very different views. I want to be sure when I say it.
You used the word agitator yesterday when it comes to these violent protesters. Are you saying that the violent protesters are from outside of our city and coming in to take advantage of a bad opportunity, or are you saying that some of them may be citizens here?
Well, when you have 500 folks together, it's very hard to determine which are which. But I do know that there was a call I saw on Facebook to people from the region and from other parts to come and support. So there could be both.
Mayor Jennifer Roberts, I know you have to go to a meeting with the police chief now, so I thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Let's all work for peace.
We're coming right back.